31. He held the three tablets of formalfane in his hand and considered the tall, cool glass of tomato juice on the table before him. He tried to suppose, as if one really could, how it would be swallowing the tablets here and now as she, the girl in the bedroom, whatever her name was, dressed for the day ahead. While she dressed, he died. That simple. That simple, anyhow, to the easy scene fabrication faculty available within the psychopathically glib human mind. Lilo paused at the bedroom door, wearing a gray wool skirt and slip, barefoot. She said,
"If you do it, I won't grieve and hang around 40 years waiting for that time warpage generator so I can go back to when you are alive. I want you to be certain of that, Lars, before you do it."
Okay. He hadn't expected her to, so it made no difference. Lilo, remaining there at the door, watching him, said,
"Or maybe I will."
Her tone, it seemed to him, was not contrived. She was genuinely considering it, how she would feel, what it would be like.
"I don't know. I guess it would depend on whether Peep East takes me back. And if so, what my life there would be like. If it was like the way they treated me before,"
she pondered,
"I couldn't stand that, and I'd begin to remember how it was here with you. So maybe I would. Yes, I think I would start grieving for you the way you are for her."
She looked up at him, alertly.
"Consider this aspect before you take those formalfane tablets."
He nodded in agreement. It had to be considered.
"I really have been happy here," Lilo said. "It's been nothing like life was at Bulganingrad, that awful classy apartment I had. You never saw it, but it was ugly. Peep East is a tasteless world."
She came padding out of the bedroom toward him.
"I tell you what, I've changed my mind. If you still want me to, I will take charge of the Paris office."
"Meaning what?"
"Meaning,"
Lilo said levelly,
"that I will do exactly what I said I wouldn't do. I'll replace her, not for your sake, but for mine, so I don't wind up in an apartment in Bulganingrad again."
She hesitated and then said,
"So I don't wind up the way you are, sitting there in your pajamas with those tablets in your hand, trying to decide whether you want to wait out the 40 years or take care of it right now. You see?"
"I see."
"Self-preservation."
"Yes," he nodded.
"I have that instinct, don't you? Where is it in you?"
He said, "Gone."
"Gone? Even if I had the Paris branch?"
Reaching for the glass of tomato juice with one hand, he put the three tablets in his mouth with the other, lifted the glass. He shut his eyes, felt the cool, wet rim of the glass against his lips, and thought then of the hard, cool can of beer that Lilo Topcheff had so long ago presented him that first moment together in Fairfax when they met. "When," he thought, "she tried to kill me."
"Wait," Lilo said.
He opened his eyes, holding in the three tablets, undissolved because they were hard-coated for easier swallowing, on his tongue.
"I have," Lilo said, "a gadget, plowshared from item, well, it doesn't matter much which. You've used it before. In fact, I found it here in the apartment. Old Orville."
"Sure," he said, mumbling because of the tablets. "I know, I remember old Orville. How is old Orville these days?"
Lilo said, "Ask his advice before you do it."
That seemed reasonable. So carefully he spat out the undissolved tablets and restored them stickily to his pajama pocket, sat waiting while Lilo went and got the intricate electronic quantum guidance system, now turned household amusement and crypto deity, old Orville. The featureless little head that, and Lilo did not know this, he had last consulted in company with Marin Fane. She set old Orville before him on the breakfast table.
"Old Orville," Lars said,
How in hell are you today? You who were once weapon design sketch number 202, he thought, first called to my attention, in fact, by Marin. You and your 14,000, or is it 16 or 18, mind parts, you poor plowshared freak, castrated like me by the system. I am fine, Ole Orville replied telepathically. Are you the same, the very same Ole Orville, Lars said, that Marin Fane? The same, Mr. Lars. Are you going to quote Richard Wagner in the original German again to me? Lars said. Because if you are, this time it won't be enough. That is right, Ole Orville's thoughts croaked in his brain. I recognize that. Mr. Lars, do you care to ask me a distinct question? You understand the situation that faces me? Yes, Lars said. Tell me what to do. There was a long pause as the enormous number of superlatively miniaturized components of the original guidance system of item 202 clacked away. He waited. Do you want, Ole Orville asked him presently, the elaborated, fully documented answer with all the citations included, the original source material in Attic Greek, Middle, Low, High German, and Latin of the... No, Lars said. Boil it down. One sentence, or less, if possible. Ole Orville answered. Take this girl, Lilo Topchev, into the bedroom and have sexual intercourse with her. Instead of poisoning yourself, Ole Orville said. And also, instead of wasting 40 years waiting on something which you had already decided to abandon, and you have ignored this, Mr. Lars, when you went to Fairfax to see Miss Topchev the first time, you had already stopped loving Marin Fane. There was silence.
Is that true, Lars?
Lilo asked. He nodded. Lilo said,
Ole Orville is smart.
Yes, he agreed. He rose to his feet, pushed his chair back, walked toward her.
You're going to follow its advice?
Lilo said.
But I'm already half-dressed. We have to be at work in 45 minutes, both of us. There isn't time.
She laughed happily, however, with immense relief. Oh, yes, Lars said, and picked her up in his arms, lugged her toward the bedroom. There's just barely enough time. As he kicked the bedroom door shut after them, he said, And just barely enough is enough.